within, struggling with faceless enemies in a labyrinth of cardboard. Best he not be shoeless. Sighing again, he drops to his knees, the notebook clutched in both hands. He kneels for an instant, hearing the hurrying feet of those who pass behind him. Then he places the notebook on the ceramic tile of the station's floor and shoves it forward beneath the corrugated flap and follows it on his hands and knees. He desperately hopes that he has found the right carton. He freezes there, in unexpected light and heat. A single halogen fixture floods the tiny room with the frequency of desert sunlight. Unventilated, it heats the space like a reptile's cage. "Come in," says the old man in Japanese. "Don't leave your ass hanging out that way." He is naked except for a sort of breech clout, twisted from what may once have been a red t-shirt. He is seated, cross-legged, on a ragged, paint-flecked tatami mat. He holds a brightly colored toy figure in one hand, a slender brush in the other. Yamazaki sees that the thing is a model of some kind, a robot or military exoskeleton. It glitters in the sun-bright light, blue and red and silver. Small tools are spread on the tatami. A razor knife, a sprue cutter, curls of emery paper. The old man is very thin, clean-shaven but in need of a haircut. Wisps of gray hair hang on either side of his face, and his mouth is set in what looks to be a permanent scowl of disapproval. He wears glasses with heavy black plastic frames and archaically thick lenses. The lenses catch the light. Yamazaki creeps obediently into the carton, feeling the door flap drop shut behind him. On hands and knees, he resists the urge to try to bow.
"He's waiting,"
the old man says, his brush tip poised above the figure in his hand.
"In there,"
moving only his head. Yamazaki sees that the carton has been reinforced with mailing tubes, a system that echoes the traditional post and beam architecture of Japan. The tubes lashed together with lengths of salvaged poly ribbon. There are too many objects here in this tiny space. Towels and blankets and cooking pots on cardboard shelves. Books. A small television.
"In there?"
Yamazaki indicates what he takes to be another door, like the entrance to a hutch, curtained with a soiled square of melon-yellow foam-cord blanket, the sort of blanket one finds in a capsule hotel. But the brush tip dips to touch the model, and the old man is lost in the concentration this requires. So Yamazaki shuffles on hands and knees across the absurdly tiny space and draws the section of blanket aside. Darkness.
"Lainey-san."
What seems to be a crumpled sleeping bag. He smells sickness.
"Yeah."
A croak.
"In here."
Drawing a deep breath, Yamazaki crawls in, pushing his notebook before him. When the melon-yellow blanket falls across the entrance, brightness glows through the synthetic fabric and the thin foam core like tropical sunlight seen from deep within some coral grotto.
"Lainey?"
The American groans, seems to turn or sit up. Yamazaki can't see. Something covers Lainey's eyes. Red wink of a diode. Cables. Faint gleam of the interface, reflected in a thin line against Lainey's sweat-slick cheekbone.
"I'm deep in now,"
Lainey says, and coughs.
"Deep in what?" "They didn't follow you, did they?" "I don't think so." "I could tell if they had."
Yamazaki feels sweat run suddenly from both his armpits, coursing down across his ribs. He forces himself to breathe,